All right. Well, before I start the message, I wanted to share a testimony of my own from this week. And so, cool thing, really, really great thing that happened to me this week. The last, I'd say probably, I don't know the exact, but 3 weeks or so, I had just been feeling personally this heaviness in my life, just like a spirit of heaviness. And it was just, I've just been grinding through life, I feel like, and just pressing through it the last, 3 weeks or so. And it just increased, for a couple weeks until it got to the point on Monday and Tuesday of this week, earlier this week, it was so hard. I actually just wanted to sleep. I'd wake up and it felt like I'd even get up early and I'd be wanting to pray and read my Bible. But I felt like I woke up with this, like a heavy, wet blanket on my emotions. I felt like I woke up with that. It was so hard to try and stir myself up. And I was just trying to grind through and be as faithful as I could. But it was intense, and which is not normal for me. That's not something I usually struggle with. So I knew it was demonic. I knew it was a spiritual attack. But it was one of those things, it sat my energy to the point, I'd pray. I'd be like, God, lift this thing off me. I rebuke you in Jesus' name, this thing. But I just felt sapped of energy to even war against it very much. It was just taking all my strength. I was just trying to, let's just grind through and be as faithful and as fruitful as possible today. And so that's how it was. It was really, really hard. So on Tuesday night, we had Matt, Melissa, Jessica, Winter, over to our house. We had them over for dinner. And we were going around just sharing, like, hey, what's God doing in your life? We do this all the time, right? And everybody shares, and then it gets around to me. And I'm like, well, here's what the devil's doing in my life. Because that was the main thing. I was in total survival mode, I felt like. And my son had been praying for me too, earlier that day. He's like, Daddy, you okay? I'm like, I'm struggling right now, actually. I just feel heaviness, and I feel like it's a demonic, but I can't shake it off. And so he was just interceding for me throughout the day, and he'd come to me at different times, Daddy, how you feeling now? Because I knew he'd been praying. And I'm like, still the same, buddy, keep praying. And then that night they prayed for me, and I didn't feel anything change when they prayed for me. I just felt the same. But that night in my sleep, it broke. And I had a dream while I was sleeping. And in the dream, I was on a professional baseball team. Of course. That's a very common theme for me in my dreams. It speaks of playing my game. It's like my calling, doing my thing that I got to do. And so I'm on the team, but I knew that I had been on the short-term injured reserve list because I had had an injury. And I couldn't play normal. But I was supposed to get off in a few days and be able to come back and play again. And I remember I was out there and they were taking batting practice before the game. The field's gorgeous. I'm just enjoying it. But I feel awesome in the dream. Like physically, I'm like, I feel 100% actually. I feel like this injury's over. I'm ready to play. I just wanted to run around and dive after balls like normal and everything. And I was like, man, I want to play. And so I go up to my coach, who was the Holy Spirit in the dream. And he didn't really say anything, but he's just really happy. And I go up to him. I'm like, coach, I'm actually feeling really good. I know I'm supposed to rest a few more days before I come off. I'm like, but can I just start today, and take some batting practice when everybody else is done? And he just smiled. He's super happy and just indicated I knew, I'm back. And I woke up and that heavy blanket was not there. I felt normal again. I was like, oh, this is wonderful. I'm back. I feel normal. I didn't have to press through. It was just normal. And so it's a major breakthrough for me that I'm super thankful for. And, one of the things that just stood out to me, it made me so grateful, is I said this before with a lot of other areas, but, there's just stuff that comes against us, whether it's temptation to sin or just a demonic attack that manifests in another way, like heaviness or whatever. And I'd say a good majority of the time, I just do warfare with the Holy Spirit. I take authority over it, and I can breakthrough with the Holy Spirit. But every once in a while, there's just that one that I'm just having a hard time breaking through by myself. And I'm so thankful. And that you, what you do in those moments, you go to brothers and sisters you can trust, you humble yourself, and you confess what you're struggling with. And so I did. I just opened up. You know, I was like, here's, I'm struggling with depression big time the last couple of days. I just want to sleep. And then they prayed, and when they agree with prayer in prayer with you, almost every single, I mean, I can't think of one time it hasn't worked. It just, breakthrough comes. And so I just didn't share that with you to glorify Jesus, to thank my brothers and sisters who prayed for me, and to encourage you, if you're going through stuff, it is so important to have those relationships in the body of Christ. Don't hesitate, you know, I'm so glad I didn't wait. You know, it was 2 days, super heavy 2 days. I'm glad I had them over for that night, because it probably would have gone on longer if they hadn't prayed for me that night and my son praying for me that day. So I encourage you, if you're like that, call somebody up, get together with a few people and say, I'm struggling with this depression, or I'm struggling with this, whatever it is. Would you agree with me in prayer for it to break? And anyway, amen. So I want to just pray over you right now, though, real quick. Don't raise your hand. You don't have to raise your hand. But if you're struggling recently with just heaviness, just like a spirit of heaviness, or just depression, or just feeling discouraged about your life and about your purpose in God, and like whatever it is, you're failing, you're not moving forward, whatever it is connected to, I want to agree in prayer with you right now. We're all going to, your whole brothers and sisters, your family, we're going to agree together with you that breakthrough will come today. So let's close your eyes. And if that's you, you know who it is. And just say, I take this for myself. And if it's not you, say, thank you, God. I'm agreeing and I release my prayers for my brother and sisters in this room. So Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We take authority over the spirit of heaviness. God, any demonic powers, God, that are just oppressing people emotionally or in any other way, and we command that, we rip that heavy blanket off now, we command those spirits to leave, and we loose the spirit of joy, the Holy Spirit, we loose righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, love, faith, hope, we loose that in the Holy Spirit right now over every person, and we just call forth that there would be breakthrough today, and that you would get glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And, you know, I encourage you, if you feel like you want to get someone to agree with you in prayer, just after church today, grab somebody or a couple people, or call them up later today and just pray together. Amen. Okay, so here's what I'm doing. I'm starting a new series today. Finally, I'm so excited about this series. I've had this in my heart for like a month and a half, and I've been wanting to start it almost every single week. I'm like, I want to start it now, but then it was Father's Day, and I had to preach something that, and or there was something else going on. I'd be like, oh, I got to finish this one up first, but now it's here. Praise God. So this series is called Release the Spirit's Power, and what I want us to do as a body of Christ this summer is I want us to be intentional, and I want us to get our Holy Spirit ammo out, and I want to loose the Spirit's power everywhere you go, all over the city, all around your family, and because when we do that, people get blessed. And so I want to talk about, I'll probably have 7 or 8 messages, I want to talk about 7 different ways that we can release the Holy Spirit's power. Here's the thing, when we release the Spirit's power, good stuff happens. When we don't, darkness just continues to run its course and dominate. So I want to read in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority. Everybody say all authority. Okay, so Jesus is like, guys, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. You know what that means? There is one guy at the top of the pecking order in heaven and on earth, and his name is Jesus. He's like, I have all authority. I am the king over all the other kings. And then he looks at his disciples. He says, therefore, the highest ranking person in heaven and on earth says, I'm giving you this command. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. I love this. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. He's like, and as you go do this stuff, when you walk into a room, I walk into a room. That's what he's saying. I'm with you. As you go and make disciples, I am with you. I think of this sometimes like, when sometimes I'll be praying for healing or something for somebody. And I just feel weak, you know. I have those times and I'm just feeling weak. Sometimes I feel real great faith. Sometimes I just feel weak. And I had these thoughts sometimes. I'm like, man, if Jesus were here praying for this person and his hand were on this person, stuff would happen big time right now. You know what I mean? But then immediately I'm like, wait a minute. Because my hand is on this person, God's hand is being put upon this person. Not that I'm God, but I am an ambassador of Christ. I speak and I act representing him. And he's like, I back you up when you do the stuff I tell you to do. Amen. That's why he says in Mark 16, when you go do this, he says, you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Just the same way Jesus did, because he says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. When you partner with God and do the things the Bible says to do that release the Spirit's power, dynamic spiritual power really does get released. Just exactly like it did when Jesus spoke or when Jesus said the prayer. Now, when he says all authority, and then I like thinking of it like this, he just gave me the highest ranking man on heaven and in all the earth. Just gave me permission. I can preach anywhere I want. Anywhere. I can go into school and I can share the gospel with people. I can go into my workplace and I can share the gospel with people. I can go into so-called closed countries where they say, you are not allowed to preach the gospel here. The king or the highest, they think they're the highest ranking leader in that nation says, "You, if we catch you preaching the gospel or doing this stuff, we're going to arrest you and deport you out of the country." It doesn't matter. You know why? Because somebody higher than you who puts you in your position has, I am under direct command to go and do this. So I have permission to preach the gospel everywhere. When God gives us authority, authority equals permission. Everybody say that with me. Authority equals permission. Okay, that's right. When God says, I give you authority to heal the sick, he says, I give you divine permission to heal the sick. When he says, I give you authority to cast out demons, he's saying, I give you divine authority to cast out demons. When you command them to go, I'm standing right there with you, and it's like I'm telling them to go. So you have divine permission to release the Spirit's power and destroy the works of the devil anytime, anywhere, okay? So I want to just give you, this is a highlight real quick. I'm just going to go through these 7 ways that we can partner with the Spirit to release the Spirit's power. Now, there's way more than this, but I'm just highlighting these 7. Number 1, sharing the gospel releases the Spirit's power to bring forth the miracle of salvation. You know, how many of you know there's different kinds of miracles? Yeah? There's the miracle of somebody being born again is the greatest miracle of all. It truly is. It is the most powerful thing. When you can take a person with a sinful nature, and all their life, the devil has been at work to deceive them and to build crazy walls in their mind, values and thought processes and experiences to keep them from believing in Jesus, and all of a sudden, the power of God, like a ray of light, it breaks through the wall, and they get understanding, and they turn from their sin and put their faith in Jesus, and then the Spirit comes in them, and they're a new creation. Big-time miracle. It's called the miracle of salvation. But then there's like the miracle of physical healing. There's the miracle of casting out devils. There's the miracle of we pray for rain, God sends the rain and breaks the drought. You guys with me? There's so many different types of miracles. So if you want to see a particular kind of miracle manifest in somebody called the miracle of salvation, the way you partner with God to release the Holy Spirit's power to bring forth that particular kind of miracle is called sharing the gospel. If you want to see a miracle of healing, the prayer of faith releases the Spirit's power to bring forth healing. if you want to see, if you want to edify and build up somebody, and you want to impart hope and courage to them, you prophesy to them and you release the Spirit's power to build up and give hope and edification, and on and on and on. You guys with me? So sharing the gospel releases the Spirit's power to bring forth the miracle of salvation. Second way, teaching the word of God releases the Spirit's power to make people strong and mature disciples of Jesus. So if that's what you're going for, if you have people that you love and you're like, man, they're new believers, but they're struggling, I want them to get solid and anchored and rooted and become mature and fruitful in their faith, start teaching them to live according to the word of God. And as you teach the word of God, it releases the Spirit's power to make them strong, get their roots deep, and make them fruitful. Praying in tongues is number three. Praying in tongues releases the Spirit's power to build up your own spirit. This is one of my favorites. This is kind of the selfish one. But it's legal because God gave it to us in the Bible. So I'm like, thank you, God, for caring about me. So praying in tongues will release the Spirit's power to build up your own spirit. Receive revelation from God. Praying in tongues helps you receive revelation from God. It helps you minister to others effectively. There's more things I could put on there. Praying in tongues is kind of a multitask way to release the Spirit's power. It gets a lot done. I highly recommend doing it. Number four, the prayer of faith releases the Spirit's power to heal the sick. I mentioned that earlier. Prophesying, number five, releases the Spirit's power to encourage, build up, give hope, increase faith in somebody, and impart timely divine wisdom to people. And the prophecy is awesome. And all of you in Christ, all of you can prophesy. All of you can do these things. And so I'm just going to, these are the messages I'm preaching in the series. I want to just do practical, how to share the gospel, how to disciple somebody, teach them the word of God, how to pray in tongues, how to pray the prayer of faith for healing, etc., how to prophesy. Number six, casting out demons releases the Spirit's power to liberate people from demonic torment and harassment. Number seven, intercessory prayer releases the Spirit's power to fulfill God's plans and dismantle the works of the devil. And there's more I could put on this list, but I have to stop it somewhere. Serving releases the Spirit's power in a dynamic way. Giving generously releases the Spirit's power. There's so many different ways that we partner. We can actually be proactive and intentional about releasing the Holy Spirit's power. It's interesting. I'm reading this book right now. I'm finishing it up. And it's a testimony of a guy. He's born again. He's a minister now. But he, before he got saved, he was high ranking. He was deeply involved in witchcraft. I mean, deeply, since he was a child. And very high ranking guy in the occult. And he would go around and he would evangelize for the devil. And he would be very intentional about releasing demonic power through his words and through different things that he did. He was super intentional about it and to release the devil's power. And I'm like, you know what? He's just doing the opposite of what he was created to do. He was created to release the Holy Spirit's power to bring life instead of the devil's power to bring death. Does that make sense? And it's like, but one thing that stood out to me is he was intentional about it. And I'm like, you know, we need to be intentional about what we're doing when we and releasing the Spirit's power. So God has given us divine permission to do all these things, these seven things. And in fact, he commands us to do all these seven of these, all of these things. And it's for the purpose, here's the purpose, and we always have to keep this in mind. We release the Spirit's power, number one reason, to bring glory to Jesus. It's not about us. It's not about our church. It's completely not about that. Like, it's 100% about getting Jesus, glorifying Jesus. And number two, it's about helping and serving people on behalf of Jesus, because Jesus cares about people and he wants to help them. And so he's like, I'm looking for partners who will walk with me and release my power so that I can help and bless people and destroy the works of the devil. Amen. So today we're going to look at the first one, the supernatural power of the gospel. I want to talk to you about that. I love them all. I probably have to say this is my favorite, simply because, you know, it's the most important. I could heal the sick, but if they don't give their life to Jesus and get saved, they still go to hell. I could raise somebody from the dead, but if they don't get saved and give their life to Jesus, it's still appointed to them once to die and then face the judgment. And so I love this one. Romans 1:16, this verse encourages me. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Now, the gospel means good news. It's the good news. It's the message about how we can be reunited with God and saved from our sins and the consequences of our disobedience through faith in Jesus as we follow Jesus. And so it's good news. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Listen to the reason. Because it, what is it referring to? The message of the gospel. He says, it is the power of God. You got to catch that. Everybody say, the gospel is the power of God. Now, sometimes you think this, man, it feels so weak. I share this gospel message. I don't know if they even understood half of what I was saying. It'd be so good, God, if you would give me some power that if I could do a miracle in front of them. If some kind of awesome supernatural thing, and then they would get saved, or then they would believe. And I think that's a good prayer. I pray those prayers. I want to do that stuff, and that's biblical. But do you know that in and of itself, just the gospel message contains the supernatural power of God that it says, for the salvation of everyone who believes. So it's like, man, if I want to see somebody, how can I release your power to get this person to turn from darkness to light? Lord's like, share the gospel message. It's like, what? I mean, honestly, that's kind of counterintuitive to our way of thinking a lot of times. It's like, share this story with them about Jesus. Tell them a story, and I will completely transform their heart if they'll believe it. It's like, what? That's why Paul says it's through the foolishness of preaching. It's like, this is so crazy. You know, he's like, the Jews demand a sign is what Paul says. They go, show me a miraculous sign. And we give them this seemingly foolish message of, oh, yeah, your Messiah came. And they're thinking to reign and yeah, to suffer and to die. And then he'll reign. He's going to reign later. And then he says, the Greeks, they want to hear some really, tell me something fancy, tickle my ears. You know, I want to hear some cool philosophical idea. And it's just the simple gospel, the simple story. Jesus is God. He became a man. He died upon the cross so that your sins could be forgiven. If you believe that, and if you will follow him and turn from your sin, the Holy Spirit will come and live inside of you. God will adopt you as his son. Your relationship with God will be instantly restored, and he'll bless you, and you'll live forever and ever with him in his kingdom. That message has supernatural power, even when it doesn't feel like it. Mark 4:26-29. Okay, I'm going to make you think. Are you ready to think? Okay. I'm going to read this, pay attention, then I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm going to wait for a second. I'm going to have you write down your answer before I tell you the answer. Okay? So here we go. Jesus also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Now here's the question. What is the main point of this parable? Go ahead and write your answer down. I'm just going to give you a few seconds. Second question. You ready? Well, no. Okay, I'll just answer you. Here's the second question. According to this parable, what is needed to expand the kingdom of God? What is needed to expand the kingdom of God? Write down the answer. Okay, here's the answer. You ready? So according to this parable, what is the main point that Jesus is teaching in this parable? The main point of the parable is the miraculous nature of the seed to grow by itself when it's planted. That's the main point. Now the seed is the word of God. That's what it's talking about. If I read it in context, the parable before this, Jesus defines that. He tells another one about the seed that was sown, and it was the word of God. So the seed is the word of God, and the whole point here is he's like, we know this in the natural. It's amazing. You take this little seed, and it can sit on top of this floor right here, and it does nothing. It just remains this little boring seed. But what's inside that thing is miraculous. And if you go and you plant it into good soil, and then you don't have to do anything. You just leave. You plant it into good soil, and you come back a few weeks later, and it's not just a seed anymore, but there's a little sprig coming up from the ground, right? You're like, wow, you don't do anything. You go and sleep, you do your stuff, you're going about your day, you come back later, and it's grown bigger. And eventually it becomes this tree, and fruit comes off of it, and seeds are inside of that. And it plants, if it gets planted, more to the same type of trees, it just goes on and on. It all comes from one seed. What's inside that seed is miraculous. Now, we don't make the tree grow. God makes the tree grow, right? Now you're like, yeah, but the tree needs certain things, right? It needs sunlight. It needs good soil around it. It needs water, or else it's not going to grow and do what it's supposed to do. But we don't make it rain. We don't make the sun shine on it, right? God is the one who does all that. The only thing we do is we plant the seed. Maybe we pull up weeds around it, you know? And then later on when it's ready, we come and we harvest it. That's what we do. So according to this parable, what is needed to expand the kingdom of God? Seed sowers. Seed sowers. The supernatural power of the seed, of the gospel message. When you share the gospel, it could look like, you know, if you go out today and you plant an apple tree into the ground, you know, you're not going to see fruit today. You could think, well, it didn't work. Nothing happened. There's nothing in, there's no power. There's no thing going on inside that seed because I don't see fruit today. You know what? You sowed that seed, you come back in a couple years, okay? And you're going to see fruit is what's going to happen. Okay, it's the same way when we share the gospel message. There's sometimes just the nature of the gospel message. Sometimes you share it and instantly the Holy Spirit does this miraculous thing and somebody believes immediately and they give their lives to the Lord. It's like, whoa, that's miraculous. Think about that. I sow the seed and within 3 minutes, there's already fruit showing. That's miraculous. But sometimes the devil lies to us and he says, they didn't get saved. It's not working. Why bother? You know why he does that? It's because let's say this is South Dakota, this field right here. Okay? Now we're praying, we want to see revival, right? We're praying, God, send revival. And which is right, that's biblical. You have to pray for it. But you know what? There in the Bible, I can't think of one time where there's in any city in the book of Acts where a harvest came up where somebody didn't go and preach the gospel first. So if you want to see a massive harvest of souls getting saved in South Dakota, what do we need? We need a whole bunch of seed sowers to plant that seed all over the state. And the devil, you know why he lies to us? And he says, it's not working. Look, nobody's getting saved. Don't bother wasting your time and putting yourself out there and feeling embarrassed and feeling awkward. Don't do it. It's not worth it. And it's not even working anyway. But we say, whoa, whoa, what does the word of God say? This is the power of God for salvation. I actually encourage myself in the Lord sometimes. I'll share the gospel with somebody, and as I'm walking away, I talk to myself, or I'll talk to the Holy Spirit. I'll say, thank you, Holy Spirit. I just sowed the power of God into that person that brings salvation. I just released power into them through that message. And I'm intentional about, I release the power. That's what I'm doing when I share the message. And the devil wants us to be discouraged and to quit. He doesn't want us to do that because if there's no seed sowers, there won't be a harvest. And if we say it's not working, so we sow sparingly, we reap sparingly, right? But if we are people with childlike faith who believe what the Bible says, we're like, this is working. I'm going to saturate this field. It's going to be soaked with seed. There's going to be seed all over the place because a day is coming when the Spirit will be poured out and all these seeds will pop up and bear fruit and multiply to the nations. I'm going to go crazy sowing seed every opportunity I get. Amen? So where do you want to see a harvest? What about, do you have a friend or a family member that's like, God, I want to see them get saved? What do you need to do? Yeah? This is your family. I want to see a harvest of salvation in my family. Share the gospel. Now, sharing the gospel is so simple. You don't have to give them, every time you share the gospel, you don't have to give them, you know, the whole 5-point plan, whatever, how many points you want to make it, of salvation. Sometimes it's just sowing a quick seed. Sometimes you're watering a seed. Every time you share the gospel, you're either planting a seed or you're watering a seed that God's planted already through somebody else. And sometimes we come along and, oh, we're harvesting something that was already been prepared long before we got there, right? But if we think of ourselves with only, I only do this if I get to harvest. If everybody's like that, we're never going to get a harvest. Does that make sense? So man, we need harvest workers, but we need seed sowers as well. And we do all of them together. And I'm telling you right now, do you realize, I want to encourage you guys. Do you know that last month, we counted it up. We had our church advance meeting and there's probably only 15 or so that were actually there. So among that small group there, do you know that almost 200 people heard the gospel just last month through those 15 people from this church? That's crazy. It was almost 200 people heard the gospel. And I've done this, you know, I did it like, I kept track of, I didn't, not every month this year, but 8 months. And I added it up and I averaged it out of the 8 months that I counted, how many people we were sharing the gospel with, just the people in that room. So it's actually more than this. We averaged sharing the gospel with 103 people per month. You know what that means? That means you are doing a good job being a seed sower. 103 seeds every month get sown by you. That's amazing. You know, I'm going to tell you this. There will be a harvest come up and you will see it. That seed is going to come. The Holy Spirit, He guards that seed and He watches over it. It's miraculous. Amen. So you guys ready? I'm going to teach you how to share the gospel. A simple way. I could tell you a lot of things. I'm just going to teach you one simple thing. Most of you, this is going to be a review. But it's good, because then you'll be able to teach somebody else too. Okay. What I want you to do is get a piece of paper. Oh, you have a piece of paper. On your notes, I left a good little blank there so you could write on there. This is how to share the gospel through your testimony, okay? And it's using, it's called the 1-1-1 method. So what I want you to do is that I want you to draw on your piece of paper a graph that looks like this. And then in the first column right before, in the middle column right how, in the last column right after. And here's what the 1-1-1 means. It's one story, one testimony of something Jesus did in your life, preferably your salvation story. But I encourage you, you know, my wife is like, man, I can't ever remember a time in my life where I've not been saved. I mean, I had awesome Christian parents. I never had a season in my life where I rebelled against the Lord. I mean, I always loved Jesus from the time I was a girl. So it's hard for me to come up with a, what was my life like before I came to know Jesus? She's like, I didn't exist. I mean, you know, if you're in a situation like that, just think of a time in your life, a testimony of a time that God intervened in your life. Does that make sense? So I shared my testimony earlier. It could be something like, you know what? I was really battling with heaviness and I was struggling with depression and I prayed and I just couldn't get breakthrough. But then I had some brothers and sisters in the Lord who gathered and they prayed. And that night, God gave me a dream. And in my dream, he made clear to me that he was delivering me from that demonic attack in my life. And I woke up the next day and the depression was totally gone. I felt normal again. And do you have anybody in your life that you can go to and get prayer where God can help you with things that you just can't shake free from by yourself? Okay, that's a powerful testimony right there. And that's powerful in people's lives. When an unbeliever hears that, I'm telling you, it registers because they struggle with stuff too, but they don't have access to, they don't know about it. They don't get to call upon the Lord and have him help. So before, how, and after. And so it's one story. In 1 minute, we're going to practice it so we can get it down to 1 minute. And you may have to take it home and practice it to get it narrowed down that because we're not going to have time to. I had to practice it over and over until I could narrow it down to 1 minute. And still have it make sense. The reason we do the 1 minute is because there's a lot of times we're sharing our testimony. That's all we have. We have a very narrow window. And I love that I can do this. And I got it memorized now. I'll share mine with you in a second, in a minute. You could time me. But I love that I had somebody mentoring me who trained me how to do this. I'd share my testimony all the time. But he was like, no, I want you to get it down to a minute. And I'd be like, okay. And I did it. And I'm like, that is so useful because now I know the power of the word. I understand it doesn't have to be long. It has just as much power in it, the message does, if it's short. And so some of you are like, amen, so you can trim down your, I'm just joking. Don't use that against me. So, but sometimes I'll have a 1 minute window and I know they're in a hurry where, you know, they're doing something. I'll say, hey, can I just tell you a quick 1 minute story of a miracle God did for me? And then boom, I share my story. I just planted the seed of the gospel. And they go and I say, Holy Spirit, we just release the power of God into that person that brings salvation. So that's why we get it down to 1 minute. Now, a lot of times when I'm sharing, it's conversational and I can tell I got more than a minute. They're asking questions back and forth and I can take longer and add more details. But it's good for training purposes, get it down to a minute. And then ending with one question, okay? So let me give you an example of mine. So first of all, in the first column, I want you to just write down like two things that what your life was like before you came to know Jesus. What was your life like before? You're not going to be able to give them your whole life story in a minute, trust me. But just hit the highlights, be quick, you know what I mean? And they'll get it. I'll give you an example. In the second column, I want you to write, what happened? How did you come to the point where you believed that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and that he rose, that you believed the gospel message and you were willing to submit to your life to him as your king? That's how you got saved. How did you come to that point? Everybody has a different story about how God brought us there. He's so good. I love hearing testimonies of salvation. And then after, how has your life been affected since knowing Jesus? Since he came into your life and you're serving him now, how has that helped? How has that transformed you? So let me give you an example of my 1 minute testimony. Go ahead, time me. Somebody timing me? Okay, so I grew up in a Christian home, and I went to church a lot throughout my childhood. And if you would have asked me, I would have said, yeah, I'm a Christian, and I believe in Jesus. But the truth was, I did not know Jesus, and I was not living for Jesus at all. I wasn't even trying to. And when I was 17, my high school baseball coach, whom I really respected, he was a real Christian, and he helped me understand, Jeff, if you want to be a Christian, you have to actually live for God. You have to obey God, not only believe in Jesus. And I thought, oh, and so I prayed, and I said, Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross to forgive my sins. I really do believe that you rose from the dead so I could have eternal life. So from this point forward, I commit my life to living for you. And right after that, these people prayed with me, and I could feel the Holy Spirit come to live inside of me. And I felt the love of God for me, and he melted my heart like putty in his hands. And I said, God, I just want to feel you like this for the rest of my life, all the time. And I just want to please you and make you a proud papa. And so that's how I came to know the Lord. Have you ever had something like that happen to you? Okay, so it's close. So that's good. But I practiced that probably hundreds by now, lots of times. And I have it memorized. I could almost do it in my sleep maybe. And so I encourage you to do that right now. And so right down at the bottom, the question I used for me, you can come up with your own question that fits your story. The question I did was, has anything like that ever happened to you? Sometimes I'll switch that question up depending on who I'm talking to. Sometimes I'll be like, have you ever heard a story like that before? Or whatever, you know. The purpose of the question is I don't want to just sit there and put them in a corner and preach to them. I want to engage them in dialogue about the gospel message. Does that make sense? And it helps them connect with it more. So as anything like this, you don't have to write my question down. You can do mine or a different one. Happened to you. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. Why don't you, is the heater on? Dude ski. Well, whoever has the key, is it? Anyway, I'll check on it a little bit. Well, I'll fix it. While we're doing that, here's what I want you to do. Work on your thing. I'm going to give you 5 minutes. And what I want every one of you to do, write down two things. You know, what was your life like before? For me, I was like, I grew up in a Christian home. I thought I knew God, but I didn't really know God. And then how? My baseball coach helped me see the truth. And I had an encounter with God when I decided to give my life to Jesus. After, I had a relationship with the Holy Spirit, and I wanted to please God because he changed my heart. Does that make sense? And so for yours, everybody's going to have a unique story. I want to give you 5 minutes till 45 at the 45 point. I'm going to come back up here, and then we're going to get into groups of two and practice going back and forth on it. So, all right, ready, set, go. So yeah, go ahead and write it down. And then once you get yours down on your own, start practicing it. You can time yourself. Get up. Most of you probably have a timer on your phone. And just start working on saying it smoothly. And, you know, every once in a while I train somebody who can say it smoothly right away, and I'm in awe. Most of the time, you're going to have to practice. And, you know, after a little while, half hour or so, you'll start getting it down. So don't be discouraged if you're like, man, that was so awkward when I said it and it first came out. The good news is that even if you go out and you're talking to somebody and you say it awkwardly, it doesn't matter. You can sow a seed into the ground awkwardly or smoothly. It's going to grow anyway. It doesn't matter. It's not about you. It's about the seed. So just sow the seed and you'll be good. But the more you practice it, the more comfortable you'll get, and the smoother you'll get. So go ahead and you can practice it. We got like 2 minutes left. Just practice it on your own, and then we're going to get into groups and practice it. Okay. What I want you to do now is I'm going to give you another 5 minutes, but I want you to get in groups of two. And try to get in groups of two, unless there's that one last person who doesn't fit because we have an odd number, then you can be a group of three. But other than that, try to do groups of two, because that way each of you have time to practice sharing at least once. So I'm going to give you 5 minutes. You're going to have to be focused, so just find somebody, time each other, share your one-minute story, and then let them share their one-minute story. And if you have time, practice twice. I'll call you back together in 5 minutes. So if you haven't switched yet and had the second person share, you probably want to do that by now, because we only got a few minutes left. Okay. How many of you got to practice? You got to practice at least once. Hold up your hand. Okay. Most of them. Well, I encourage you, take this home and practice this. Work it out. And then go sow that seed. Honestly, it is so easy to sow the seed of the gospel message. Just if I share somebody else's testimony that you like, if you want. That works too. The testimonies of God, you're sowing the, this is what God does. This is how God helps people. If I hear a good testimony, whether it's a healing testimony or anything, I'll share it. You know, if I'm out there, I'm like, oh, I heard this cool story the other day, and this person, and they got healed and they had cancer, and then it was medically confirmed, and they may be an unbeliever, and they're just like, oh, okay, cool. But I know, I'm like, shoo, you're welcome. Seed is inserted. You'll thank me later. Okay, so here's what I want to do. If I could have your attention real quick, and just bring all conversations to a close real quick. I like that you're excited. I encourage you, meet afterward, keep going with it. Okay, I do want to tell you a couple other things real quick. How to start a gospel conversation. And sometimes it's like, I want to share it. I know how to share my story, but how do I open the door and kind of turn a conversation to the Lord? And sometimes that can be tricky. And what I found, a very simple way to do that is ask them the prayer question. Is just going up to them and just being like, hey, my name's Jeff. What's your name?
Malachi.
Hey, can I pray for you? I love Jesus. That's who I pray to. And is there any miracle that you would like to see God do in your life? And that's how you do it. I have used that for, a long, long time, many, many, many years. And way before I lived in Huron. And it is so effective. I'm blown away. It's so simple. But here's what it communicates. Never underestimate the power of just asking, can I pray for you? Because what it communicates is there is a God who has all the power that can help you no matter what you're asking for. Number two, it communicates, and he cares about you. And he's willing to release his power to help you. And I care about you. Which is why I want to ask him to do this on your behalf. And that is a powerful thing. I mean, just sometimes I'll pray for people and I don't even get the opportunity to share the gospel. But I'm just like, hey, praise God. I just release something wonderful over them in that prayer. I actually, that same book I told you I was reading of this guy who was in the occult, he would go around and he would have demons do his bidding and stuff. And he would go through neighborhoods and he could put curses on people and households and neighborhoods. He would just do that and they would happen. He says, but every once in a while, there'd be a certain neighborhood that I was like bound. I couldn't do it. Like I knew nothing was happening. I'd try to release curses and hexes and spells over this neighborhood, but it wouldn't work. And he says he found out later that it was in those neighborhoods where there would be Christians who lived in that neighborhood who were praying for their community. Never underestimate the power of just a simple prayer over somebody. You don't even know what God is doing on their behalf because of one simple prayer. You know, Autumn prayed for a guy one time in the hospital, Autumn and Jessica. They were there visiting somebody else, and they were walking down the hallway, and some guy had his room open, his hospital room. He was in there dying, literally. And he looked horrible. He was dying. And she kind of just felt, oh, I need to go pray for him. But she felt awkward. She's like, I don't even know this guy. You know, when somebody's dying, like, let them be with their family. you know, that kind of thing. I don't want to come and interfere. And she's like, but she obeyed. And she's like, can I pray for you? And he's like, okay, you know, and she prayed, didn't feel nothing. And then just wanted to get out as quick as possible because she felt like she was intruding, except she had permission to be there, didn't she? She had permission from the Father, from Jesus, to be there. And so then she left really quickly. It was, you know, and like a year or two ago, this guy randomly comes up to her, so she didn't even recognize the person. And he just goes, he points to her and he goes, this woman saved my life. And she's like, she didn't even recognize him. And she goes, how's that? And he goes, I was in the hospital, I was dying, and I had this thing going on, and you and some other girl came and you prayed for me, and I started getting better. And now he's there. And she didn't even know that it worked. It didn't feel powerful at all. It felt the opposite. It felt like, I shouldn't be here. I just want to get out of here as quick. So I'm obeying, and that's it. And then I'm gone. I'm getting this over with. Anybody can relate to that feeling? I know that feeling. But it doesn't matter. It released the power of God. And so just that simple, can I pray for you? And then it doesn't have to be long. Just super quick prayer is powerful. And then what I like to do is this, is I always tell them who I'm praying to, because you never know. You're talking to New Agers or something. They, whatever. There's a lot of religions out there. I always say, I pray to Jesus. Is there anything I can ask him to do? A miracle that you need. And then I pray for them. And then I ask this question. I said, Jesus is the one I told you who I'm praying to. Do you know who he is? Most of the time in America, they say, yeah, I know who he is. And I say, okay, awesome. I say, can I tell you a quick story about a miracle that he did in my life? I grew up going to church. I was in there all the time, and I go straight into my testimony. Does that make sense? So that's an easy way to just start a gospel conversation. Is there anything I could pray for you about? Sometimes you'll see a need. The person's hurting. They're sharing it. They're going through a divorce. They got a teenage son that's being into drugs and they don't know what to do about it. Or there's, you know, everybody has problems. They talk about them all the time. Just say, listen, can I pray with you right now about that and ask Jesus to help you? And then just say, Jesus, do you know who that is? Can I tell you about how I met him for the first time? And then go straight into your story. Does it make sense? Okay, so here's what I want you to do real quick. Just turn to the person next to you. We can do this in 30 seconds. And what I want you to do is say, hi, my name is whatever your name is. Say, hey, my name is Jeff. Can I please pray for you? And then practice the transition. Can I tell you a quick story about how I met Jesus for the first time or a miracle that Jesus did for me to encourage you? So take turns, 30 seconds each. Cool. All right. So when you ask that question, you'll have a lot of, you'll say, can I share a quick story with you about a miracle God did for me that I think will encourage you? Many people will say, okay, sure. And then just, you can share it, do the 1 minute version, or if you can gauge if they're really attentive and they're just hanging out doing nothing, you know, you have more time, you can go for that. But some of them will say, you can tell by their body language, I'm in a rush right now. Now's not really a good time. Just bless them. Just say, no problem. Thanks for letting me pray for you. Have an awesome day. And then you just pray for them on your own. Does that make sense? And so that's totally fine. And every once in a while, you'll get somebody who's like, no, you can't pray for me. And it's like, leave me alone. You're bothering me. I'm doing stuff right now, and just say, okay, no problem, have an awesome day. So I call it red light, yellow light, green light. You know, if I get a red light, whoosh, get away from me, what I do is I just bless them and move on. Say, no problem, have an awesome day, man. If I get a yellow light that's like, oh, you know, I am interested, I'd like to hear more, some people, they honestly do have things that they need to do right then. It's real. You know, I mean, I'm the same way, you know. I'm like, oh, I'd love for you to pray with me. But seriously, my daughter's waiting for me to pick her up right now from school, you know, and you have to do that. So if I get a yellow light, they're interested or whatever, you know, I just say, okay. And if they can set up a time to get together later, I'll do that or whatever. And if I get a green light, that's like, yeah, right now, let's do this thing. Share the gospel and go for it. Sound good? Okay, let me pray over you then. Oh, by the way, no, I got to set goals first. I want on the bottom of your sheet, I have two questions that I want you to ask the Holy Spirit. Because, by the way, my whole point in this series is activation. Really, most of it's activation and stuff we're already doing. But to do it more with more intentionality. Think of the fields or people around you. Where do you want to see the miracle of salvation happen? What is the way I worded it? Yeah, where do I want to see a harvest of salvation? That's number one. Just write down names of people that you care about. Neighbors, family members, friends, coworkers. That one random person that you always see in this certain restaurant. You don't know them, but they just your attention's drawn to them. I would like to see them get saved. Okay? So just write down. I'll just give you a minute to write that down. And then answer the second question, who will I share the gospel with this week? I encourage you, pick however one person off of your list, or you can do all of them if you're ambitious and you got the time, and say, this week, my goal is to share the gospel with at least one of these people. I'm going to go sow that seed. So, Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and I encourage you. I'm ending here, but I didn't give you much time for that. You can go. I encourage you go home, actually do that, and make it a goal this week. Sow that seed, sow it with at least one. And I'm going to pray over you, Father. And we want to see revival, Lord. We want to see a harvest of souls, God. We're asking you for 1 million salvations. New disciples of Jesus in our five-state region within the next 15 years. So, Father, I ask that you would raise up seed sowers who will sow millions of gospel seeds all over the five-state region so we can see at least a million soul harvest in Jesus' name, God. And we offer ourselves to you. Help us to be faithful seed sowers, Lord. Courageous, contagiously joyful seed sowers who walk in love and share and sow that seed, share the gospel message with people. And I pray that you would give boldness to us, Lord, even this week and the weeks following, just to share that seed, share that testimony. It's really quick. Pray, step out of the box and ask the prayer question. Father, I just pray that you would anoint us with boldness, that we would grow in boldness as we walk in boldness by faith. Father, we are expecting to see a harvest from these seeds. We thank you, God, that your word is powerful. It never returns void. It always accomplishes the purpose for which it was sent forth. And the gospel message was sent forth to bring salvation. So we sow it with faith and we look for the harvest and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.